the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. John the Baptist is in a dark place. Last week, John was in the wilderness, enjoying the outdoors, living freely, greeting the folks who came out to meet him. He was preaching about God's love and God's judgment, baptizing people in the river, and proclaiming proudly that the kingdom of God is near. This week, John is in prison. He has been labeled an agitator, dangerous to those in power, and so he's been locked behind bars, locked away. His crowds of admirers are long gone. Most of his disciples are now off following someone else. John is no longer able to enjoy the outdoors and take a breath of fresh air. He's no longer able to fulfill his call to preach and baptize and prepare the way of the Lord. This is not just a dark place for John. It is the darkest of places. His whole entire purpose in life has been stripped away from him, and a violent death is near. In a time of desperation, John dares to ask a question that the free, self-assured John we saw last week would not have asked. John asks, "Are you the one who is to come? Or are we to wait for someone else?" John sends word to Jesus. He sends his question to Jesus because he's wondering and hoping and praying that Jesus is the one for whom he was preparing. John wants to know if all of his work was in vain, if his small life has made a difference at all. John is begging for a glimpse of the good news. And Jesus doesn't force John to wait very long for that glimpse. Jesus doesn't make John wait till the end of his life or the end of time to hear the good news and to see what God is up to. No, Jesus sends the disciples out with an answer. "Go and tell him," says Jesus to the disciples. "Go and tell him. Go and tell John what you hear and what you see. Tell John that the blind receive their sight, that the lame walk and lepers are cleansed. Tell him how the dead are raised and the deaf hear, and good news is brought to the poor." It's as if Jesus is saying, "It's just like you always said it would be, John. Do not be afraid. I have come to bring the unexpected and mysterious and life-giving good news that you always hoped for. I have come to bring good news to all those who have been cast aside or pushed to the margins, to all those who are least likely to get good news from their government or their doctors or their family. I have come to bring good news, John, yes, even for you. Even for a crazy old self-proclaimed prophet in jail. Go and tell John," he says to the disciples. "Tell him to believe in himself again. Go and tell John he is even more than who he thought he might be. Go and tell John he did what he was called to do. Go and tell John the good news." For John, these words of Jesus are a glimpse of the good news in a dark place. Good news in the least good of moments. A light in the darkest of places. Water in the desert of life. Our own lives are filled with deserts of their own and with our own wilderness wanderings. Times of grief and pain. Times that look lifeless and empty. times when we are without a direction or a pathway. Times that bring us to that moment of desperation, like John, when we might start to ask questions that we never thought we would have to ask. Much of our life is in fact lived in the wilderness. And the wilderness is rough, and it's empty. That desert is barren and sandy, and it looks lifeless. Jesus knew that when he asked the people why in heaven's name they would go out to that barren wilderness to see John. There are much more impressive things and people in the busy, wealthy city than in the barren desert. The prophet Isaiah knew that when he wrote the promise that we hear today. But still, the people went to the desert. They went to the desert to hear John. They sought out that place of emptiness and isolation, because for all its desolation, the wilderness was also where people go to seek God. The wilderness was also a place of opportunity, a place of possibility, a place where the blooming flower or spring of water mean most, because it's where they are most needed. That is why the prophet Isaiah equates a desert with a speechless tongue about to sing, or a blind eye about to see, or a deaf ear about to hear. Because when the one for whom John is waiting finally arrives, every place of emptiness and grief and pain will be transformed into a place of fullness and life and joy. And in the meantime, in that in-between time between when Jesus comes and when Jesus comes again, Jesus has made every desert of our lives a place of hope. Every wilderness wandering becomes a place of possibility, a place of opportunity. Even John's dark jail cell might become a place of promise. Even now, in the wilderness of our own lives, we may see streams and blossoms in the desert. Because Jesus comes to be good news, not just for John. Jesus comes as good news for us, too. The kids helped me observe that our water in worship today is in two places. At the front by the altar, and at the back by the baptismal font. That's not a coincidence. That wasn't just the pretty place where I thought we should put it. Before Jesus leaves us in this in-between time, Jesus gives us flowers to blossom in the deserts of life. The sacraments. Jesus gives us signs in water and in word. Jesus gives us signs in bread and in wine. Jesus gives us signs of hope in the midst of our wanderings, to give us a drink in the desert of life. As we receive these signs each Sunday and go back out into the world, we are called to do just what Jesus asked John's followers to do too. Go and tell. Go and tell. Tell what you see and tell what you hear. Jesus can't bring that good news to John by himself. He must send someone to share it. Go and tell so that others might receive this hope that we have too. We strengthen one another's hearts by sharing those places where we have sensed God's presence in beauty or in acts of healing or in acts of liberation, in people of integrity who we know who have held to the truth in their own deserts. Go and tell. Go and tell how you have heard of the love of God. Go and tell about the cleansing forgiveness you've known in your life. Forgiveness from your God or your sister or your friend. Go and tell where you saw new life and new movement brought to those who seemed lifeless or dead. Go and tell good news to the poor, Tell them how our ears and eyes have been opened to them and how we are with them in their struggles. Go and tell how your own eyes have been opened to the beautiful blossoms all around. As we share what we have heard and seen, we carry on the work of John as he suffers and doubts in prison, even on this third week of Advent. We bring good news to others. The end of John's life is difficult. It looks deep and it looks dark. It is a dark place where he sits. But at John's birth, his father testified to the abiding light that would even outlive his son. His father testified to a light that would be a light not only for John, but for all those who sit in dark places. Blessed be the God of Israel, his father Zechariah proclaimed, for he hath looked favorably upon his people and redeemed them. So we will know mercy and forgiveness and peace, even in death, even in the darkest of places. In the hymn of the day, we will join John's father in singing these words of promise for all the dark places in our lives. And in our lives, we will join John in proclaiming the good news in the wilderness. Thanks be to God. Amen.